I'm only in fourth grade, and even I know Hank Williams rules.
86 Productions.
It burns. What I breathe. What do I breathe? Burns. What I breathe. Lord, what I breathe.
Howdy, friends. It's your favorite announcer, Cheyenne, here. Welcome to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee. We are spreading the word about real country music, one squirt at a time. In this episode, we feature an interview with that dirty old one-man band, Scott H. Byrum. We also have an album review from our newest staffer, Jared Morningstar. So put the kids to bed and grab a paper towel or two. Straight from Get Your Hank On Studios, here's your host, Blake Clayton.
Hey, this is Spice Boy from the Bubba the Love Sponge Show, and you're listening to It Burns When I Pee. Kicking pop country in the balls. Love it, guys. Take care.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 4 of It Burns When I Pee, the only podcast around that talks about real country music. And my name is Blake Clayton, and I will be your host. In today's show, we have a ton of music to play. We're going to play a song called Try, Try, Try by our friends at Rattlesnake Deer. They are the band that did our new intro song called It Burns When I Pee. So we're going to give them a shout out. And also we have an interview with Scott H. Byrum, the original one-man band. And at the beginning of the interview, we're going to play a song called Plow You Under. And then at the end of the interview, we're going to play a song called Long Fingernails. So I'm looking forward to that. And we also have a new segment to the show. We're going to have periodically do some album reviews. And our friend Jared Morningstar from Michigan is going to be doing Wayne the Train Hancock's new album called Tulsa. So sit back, relax, let's get it started and listen to Try, Try, Try by Rattlesnake Deer.
You can't live forever on soup, tequila, codeine, but you can try.
That was our friends Rattlesnake Deer I'd like to thank those guys for hooking us up with our new show intro. And that song was called Try, Try, Try. And if you want to check out more of their music, just go to their MySpace. Go to Music and search Rattlesnake Deer and check those guys out. Thanks again, guys. And now, I guess we should go ahead and play a song from Scott H. Byram called Plow You Under. And we'll go straight into the interview with Scott. Appreciate Scott being on the show. So here is Plow You Under and the interview with Scott H. Byram, the original one-man band. Everybody watch out. He'll take your chickens.
Can't take no more of that fooling around. Gotta go down now and turn up some ground. This old mule, these blades, these lines on this plow. Gonna work them on ya to crush you on down. Oh, babe, I'm bound to plow you under. Forget you forever and ever. I'm bound to plow you goddamn under. Nobody wonder where you been, neither. I work hard all day trying to get you off my mind. These old folks down here, they say, son, give it some time. This burning worry, trouble, sorrow all the time. Got a bone to pick, bitch, I'm gonna crush you fucking down. Oh, babe, I'm bound to plow you under. Forget you forever and ever. I'm bound to plow you goddamn under. Nobody wonder where you been, neither. Yeah, this song's about plowing, in case you didn't know. I'm gonna plow a little while. Well, my real mule's crippled. Yeah, it's my lead mule's blind. Well, my real mule's crippled. Yeah, it's my lead mule's blind. You can't do me, baby, like you done for Shine. The way you worked him on the levee, baby. Yeah, until he went stone blind. Some drunk old sinner say she never did wrong. Some drunk old loser say she never did wrong. Kids throwing rocks at a blackbird on the line. I'm still down here plowing, trying to get you off my mind. Oh, babe. Yeah, and I spent last night crying. Forget you forever and ever. I'm bound to plow you under.
Welcome, everybody, back to It Burns When I Pee, Episode 4. And our special guest for this episode is the dirty old one-man band himself, Scott H. Byram. Scott, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I don't know if many of you probably heard of Scott H. Byram. He is on Bloodshot Records label, and his most recent album out is The Graveyard Shift. We're going to play a song from that at the end of the interview. Where are you from?
I'm from... Austin, Texas. Well, I'm originally from a little tiny town called Prairie Lee, Texas, and then I moved to a small college town called San Marcos, Texas, and about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago I moved to Austin, but I've always lived around Austin, so, you know, there you go.
And, all right.
I grew up in the country until I was, I don't know, 12 or 13, moved to a college town.
All right, welcome everybody back to It Burns When I...
Oh, yeah, man. I bought a house over here in Austin a couple of years ago, and I'm already feeling the country burn. I want to move back.
There you go.
I live in this neighborhood. I totally couldn't have any chickens in it, but I just bought some chickens the other day just to piss them off and built a chicken coop in my backyard. So Velcro shoes to a tree out the front yard. I don't know why.
Now you just need to get a old car that doesn't work and set it out in the front and let the weeds grow around it. That'll really get them going.
Yeah.
So when did you start playing guitar and getting interested in the music?
I would say, you know, I used to tinker around on a Stella guitar when I was a little kid, like 7 years old or so. And, you know, I didn't really know what to do with it. And then somewhere around like 10 or 11, I heard some Stevie Wonder song. And I wanted to screw around with some keyboards or something. And my parents got me this little, like, foot-long Casio keyboard, you know, that you can only hit one key at a time on. And, you know, that's not going to help you learn too much about music. But I think around 14, so I got my first guitar, and a friend of mine showed me some, you know, the blues scale or whatever, and it just went from there. I started playing heavy metal and punk rock, and then in college started some bluegrass bands, and then when the last one of those broke up, you know, I just kept touring by myself. You know, it's easier when you don't have to split the money anyway.
Right, exactly. So what are some of your musical influences?
You know, my dad, when I was a kid, used to play me a lot of Lead Belly, and they filmed the movie Lead Belly, which is pretty hard to find. Had the guy that played TC from Magnum P.I. played Lead Belly, Roger T. Mosley. But they filmed it right by our house. And anyway, my dad had the soundtrack to that, and he played that a lot. And listened to a lot of Lightning Hopkins, and I took me to see Doc Watson when I was a little kid. And it wasn't until I was about 20 or 21 when I got interested in that stuff again. And, you know, Lead Belly and Woody Guthrie and Bill Monroe and Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and, you know, just all the old greats. Yeah. But I got to give my props to ZZ Top, too.
There you go.
If
you listen to a lot of your music, I mean, there's multiple kinds of, you know, there's some punk in it, there's some metal in it, there's some bluegrass, like you said, and there's, you know, some really traditional country, and you mix it all together to where, you know, it kind of makes sense. I know I can see some artists that try to throw all that stuff together, and it doesn't really sound like anything, but you have a good way of mixing it up, and it's really prevalent in all your different songs.
Yeah. Well, I make an effort to... you know, to try to put a little bit of everything on every record, but, you know, all that is from me just, you know, I get bored playing the same thing all the time, so just, I mean, my main influences are the blues and then just metal, but I still like to play all my country chords and my country scales and everything like that. I listen to a lot of satellite radio on the road and you know, some of the best stations on there are the old country stations.
Exactly.
That's the main thing I listen to.
So are you a Sirius subscriber or an XM subscriber?
I'm an XM subscriber, but, you know, I'd like to have both, but apparently they're going to merge, so I guess that's...
I'm hoping that at the end of the year that'll go through. But I got Sirius, and I listen to a lot of... They have a station called Outlaw Country, and then the Roadhouse, of course, and so you hear a lot of stuff that you don't normally at all hear on the radio, which is...
Having XM, I don't get to hear Mojo Nixon's show or Little Steven's show or any of that stuff.
Right.
But I don't know so much about Sirius on the blues side, but the XM, the blues station, is really not very good.
Oh, really?
And they play some old blues stuff, but they play a lot of, like, the new, you know, overly polished crap that I really can't stand.
Sure. So you've released four albums independently. You had your first one in 2000, which is This Is Kingsbury, and then in 2002 you had Preaching and Hollering, and 2003 you had Lo-Fi Mojo, and then 2004 you had Dirty Old One-Man Band. Then you signed with Bloodshot Records. What is the difference between having a label and releasing an album versus doing it all on your own? I mean, what's the major differences?
It's me... you know, giving chores to other people to take care of. I mean, I pretty much do everything myself. Starting out, I really did everything myself. Now I got a booking agent, and the label, you know, sends flyers out for me and gets me more press interviews and you know, just kind of... They give me some movie stuff or some television soundtrack kind of stuff. But, you know, when I was doing it by myself, I still do quite a bit of it by myself. I mean, to be really honest, I used to do all my own booking. Now get the book in agent, but I'm still, getting the emails all the time and then just sending them off to her. And then I still record all my own records. I drive all over the country myself. I make all my own record covers and T-shirt designs and poster designs and all that stuff.
Which I guess, in a way, that's kind of the best way, because you have direct, nobody's telling you how to do it. Nobody's, telling you what to play, or nobody's telling you how to promote yourself. I mean, you have complete control, which is, I guess, is a big bonus. But then again, it's difficult when, and probably finding the funds and such to do it.
Yeah, it really works out for me as far as the music part goes, because I don't have to, I can change a song right in the middle of it while I'm, on stage or something. And I all my practice is me sitting on the front porch singing or hollering in the car or something. But I don't have to argue with anybody on the road about shit. But now I got a sound guy. I argue with him. I don't really argue with him. He's great. And I don't know. It works out pretty good being doing things myself. And this guy, Mark Rubin, that used to play bass in a band called the Bad Livers here in Austin a while back. They were kind of a punk rock bluegrass band in the 90s. And he told me one time, he said, there's nothing someone else can do for you that you can't do better yourself.
Right, exactly.
And I agree with that. But, at some point, it gets to be too much to deal with, so you got to get somebody to help you out.
Right. Bloodshot is basically helping you with promotional stuff and getting your name out there, but still the basis of the booking and the touring and the recording all is basically you then.
Yeah, I'm still doing most of the work. They do help me out a lot, and they really do get my name out there, and that's thing, that was kind of our deal when I finally said, well, let's I'm with you guys. I need somebody to get me a good booking agent, and they did manage to score me the one that I wanted. The Billions Corporation in Chicago, they just do a really good job. My agent Amy Butterer, she's just she works with me on everything, and I have the final say, but she's looking out for me,
Right. Your last album, which Bloodshot released, was in 2006, and it was called Graveyard Shift. So are you in the works of making a new album?
Yeah, actually, right now I've been on a small vacation for the last couple months. I mean, I've been playing local shows only, and just trying to get my studio set up again for recording another record. I'm going to have to ask some more time from touring to do this, but Bloodshot put out Dirty Old One Man Band too, but I put it out before they did, and then they signed me and they not only released it, but it changed it up a little bit.
Sure.
But definitely working on a new one, man. I got an old Rhodes piano with distortion on it, and a Hammond B3 organ thing I'm playing the bass keys on, and I'm doing some songs that have more keys in them than in my old records,
Right.
I think I put one song with some organ on it on my last one, and that's the first time I had tried that. I don't know, I got the studio set up. So, the last record was my first time to try to do a lot of overdubs and, say, screw it, It's fun to record a record live and be a one-man band and everything, but, when I can play some other instruments and I can put them on there, might as well do that. And then, some of those I have to learn how to play them for live shows, because it's not quite the same thing as I'm doing on the records.
So you said that you had been taking a break from touring. Are you planning on touring pretty soon, or is there a major leg that you're going to be starting up soon?
Yeah, August 6th, I gotta leave. I don't get back till August 26th or something like that, so that's a good little run. I have a UK tour in October. The August shows are going to be in the Northeast and the Midwest. But then October, I got a UK tour. September, I may or may not be touring with Shooter Jennings in the Northwest. If that's not going to happen, then I'm going to do some just kind of regional shit. Just go over to, like, Louisiana, see some old friends and play some music over there. And while I'm home, try to do some recording. It took me 7.5 months to do my last record because I only had, you know, so many weeks in between every tour.
Right.
So this time I'm trying to, you know, take November and December and do only local shows so I can stick around here and, like, really bust it out.
Sure.
A year since Graveyard Shift came out, so I need to get it out. It takes the label about 6 months to put it out.
Oh.
It used to take me the day after I finished it to start selling it to people.
Exactly. So one of the major, I guess, news stories about you or whatever is the car accident that you had in the year in May of 2003. Can you kind of briefly tell me a little bit about what happened and if you can, tell me how it kind of affected your life or maybe even your music?
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about that, man. I mean, honestly, I'm sick of talking about it.
I figured as much, but...
I don't know. I used to live out in the country on a little farmhouse, I was driving from town. I'd had some lunch and was driving down the highway, and somebody stopped in front of this truck that was coming over the hill, and he just kind of flew into oncoming traffic and hit. I was the lucky guy that was first in line to get hit. I'm the only one that got hit. And it broke every limb of my body except for my left arm and my joystick. And my head, I guess. But I don't know. The next thing, I woke up in a hospital in San Antonio. They flew me by helicopter there, and I spent about 6 months in a wheelchair, and still got a bunch of metal rods and plates all in my arms and legs. And I don't know, as far as affecting me, I feel like somebody frogged me in the ass all the time. I don't know, man. I hated that I kind of fell behind a little bit because I had a tour coming up, and I was bedridden for a while, so, you know, I started booking a tour while I was still laid up in bed, and for the projected date that I was supposed to be able to walk again, and it kind of turned me into a workaholic, I think. Maybe that was already going to happen, I'm not really sure, but... mostly it's affecting my life in that I get asked that question.
They're like, okay, I'm going to be on this lame podcast, and the lamest of the questions is going to be about the car accident. But I had to throw that in because I'm trying to get this out to a lot of the people that, you know, have never heard Scott H. Byram or never heard a lot of the underground country that I'm trying to, you know, spread the word on. And it's just an interesting story that, you know, you got to kind of throw in there.
I'll tell you what, one of the things that interesting about that was that the record I put out right before that happened had only two original songs on it, and they were Wreck My Car and Truck Driver. I told the doctor I wasn't going to make songs about making money on the beach or something from now on.
There you go. It's all good. The main question that I ask every artist that we have on the show is what their opinion is of the state of country music in Nashville today. And being that you're from Austin, which is another town which is kind of known for its music, what do you see the difference in between Nashville and Austin in regards to the music scene and the real traditional and the real original stuff that's being made?
I get the feeling, you know, from my few experiences of dealing with Nashville, that people care a little bit more about the music around here. I don't know. There's a lot of bands that are doing it just to do it. They're not even doing it to, you know, get famous or anything like that. They just enjoy playing music. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people in Nashville that are just the same way, but I don't know. I like living here. I don't think I'd like living in Nashville very much, but, you know, I don't want to talk shit about somebody else in town either.
Right. Understandable.
Because I get that all the time, traveling around the country. Well, traveling around the world now, people find out you're from Texas. A lot of people got a lot of shit to talk about it, and, you know, a lot of people don't know what the hell they're talking about. You know, I don't know. Nashville gets a lot of shit, and I'm sure that a lot of it's true, but you know, at the same time, I don't want to say too many bad things about a place that I haven't spent that much time in. A lot of shit music come out of there.
Right.
I was just gonna say it again. Yeah, I've seen a lot of shit music come out of there. I mean,
right.
I've seen some. I cannot stand that new country shit. It sounds like Bon Jovi to me, man.
Well, yeah, and actually, they're
Bon Jovi now lately because I just saw his name on the station thing when I was flipping through it the other day. So Sting's gonna be putting out a country record.
There you go. whatever sells, right at the time.
Yeah, I guess, man. They've taken synthesizers up instead of fiddles these days. You know, a little bit too much. I don't think drum machines really have too much place in country music.
And that's the exact words that one of our friends, Jake Penrod, who is also from Texas, he had said, you know, the drums don't even belong in country music. But
I'm sure they're playing some drums on there. But yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, I like some of those cheesy country ballads. Man, I like John Anderson a lot.
Oh yeah. He's released like 39 records, and that's amazing that, you know, that for one, a career could last long enough, and for two, you can come up with enough songs in a career to make 39 albums. So.
Well, I'll get more than that out, I think, as long as I don't cut off all my fingers or something.
So if fans want to get a hold of you in regards to, you know, purchasing some CDs, you do have a website, www.scottbyram.com. And there's a message board, is that correct?
Yeah, and we just kind of fixed it. A good guy, fan, and I don't remember where he was, Detroit or somewhere, said that he would take care of it for me. The message board got taken over for a little while there by some spam bots, man, and it was just like, you know, Viagra, Viagra, mortgage, Viagra.
Oh, jeez.
Sex games or some shit, you know, and finally he weeded all that shit out of there, and we started all over again. So I think that'll be up again pretty soon. Hiram's Lords. There's some good pictures of, you know, you were talking about that wreck earlier. I remember what I was going to tell you earlier was if anybody wants to know about that wreck, they can look at that hit the road section on that message board. It's got some pretty gruesome pictures in it. I check my MySpace all the time, so, you know, you can look on there, too.
And that's myspace.com/ScottByram? Scott H. Byram.
Scott H. Byram, yeah.
All right.
Without the period, yeah.
And then you can also go to Bloodshot Records, and they have links, and you can get Dirty Old One Man Band and Graveyard Shift through them, but the earlier ones, you'd have to go to your website, correct?
Yeah, you can get all my records on my website.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's always people trading crap on the on the message board, man. I get people give me CDs in my shows and stuff all the time. You know, random shows. I don't usually listen to them. I'm glad to have them because I want my grandkids to have them or whatever. But I can't listen to those trade tapes of me, man. It always sounds so bad, the recordings, man.
Right.
And it makes me feel like I suck. So.
I personally saw you. I saw you live the first time when you played in Chicago and you opened up for Hank Williams III. And I'd never heard of you before. I was just getting in the scoop of what was going on. You know, you came out and it was instant, just like energy. And you know, for one guy being out there, I mean, you're putting everything into it, and you're playing some hardcore music. And I would like to say that I appreciate it and to keep up the great work, because I know that there's many fans out there that love what you're doing.
Thanks, man. It's picked up quite a bit, and I've started playing a little bit more rocking music in there, too, you know, since then. I remember that night, because this guy gave me his hat, and I got pretty drunk at the end of the night, and this guy gave me his hat to sign, and I wrote fuck you on it, and he's like, hey, man, and then, like, 2 or 3 years later, some dude comes up to me and goes, hey, man, my friend asked you to sign his hat in Chicago, and he wrote fuck you on it, and I was like, oh, and he said, will you write fuck you on my hat?
Awesome.
Yeah.
I play one song at the beginning of every interview and then one song at the end of every interview. If you could pick one song that you're most proud of that you've written, which one would it be?
Most proud of? Shit, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. But I like the way Plow You Under sounds.
Definitely.
I See the Light's pretty good. I'm pretty proud of writing that one. Although the gospel stuff at the end is more of a traditional thing. I didn't really write that so much, but I couldn't tell you a favorite, man. That's a dirty question.
Yeah, no, it's an unfair question, but you got to ask it. So I think we're going to play on the first half of the interview, we're going to play we'll play Plow You Under, and then my favorite song on the new CD is Long Fingernails, so I'm going to grind that out on the second one on the way out of the interview. Is that all right?
Hell yeah, man. That's fine with me.
All right, Scott, again, thank you very much for your time, man.
All right, man. Well, thanks for your interest and support and all that.
Hey, no problem, man. Just trying to spread the word. And again, thanks a lot. And if you guys haven't ever checked out Scott H. Byram, definitely go to ScottHByram.com. Check him out.
Hi, I'm Jake Penrod, and this is It Burns When I Pee, keeping country real, one squirt at a time.
Well, howdy there, y'all. It's your good friend Cletus here. And the other night, about 3 in the morning, I was drunk off my ass from Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. I stumbled upon a brand new website. It's called DrunkenHillbilly.com. And if you like what you're hearing on It Burns When I Pee, yeah, I think you'll love this website too. It's got a message board and has articles about other country bands. So check it out. It's called DrunkenHillbilly.com. And if you're too dumb to know, here's how you spell it. DrunkenHillbilly. That's DrunkenHillbilly.com. Check them out. They're good friends of It Burns When I Pee. All right, once again, we'd like to thank Scott H. Byron for being on the show. The Dirty Old One-Man Band is always out there touring, so go to his MySpace or his website and check out his tour dates. He's a great artist, and we were very honored to have him on the show. So now we'd like to get to our next segment of the show, and it is an album review from our good friend Jared Morningstar. And I had a chance to talk with Jared earlier this week, and here's the clip from that. All right, welcome back, everybody, to It Burns When I Pee. And we have a special guest here, and his name is Jared Morningstar. Jared, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Me and Jared kind of go back about almost 5 years now. We've known each other from the Hank 3 message board and used to swap a lot of music and stuff. And I've always been really impressed with Jared's knowledge of the underground country music. And I thought what we should do is periodically have Jared come on the show and do some album reviews. So one of the artists that we've talked about periodically, I guess on the last three shows, his name usually always comes up, is Wayne the Train Hancock. And I thought that would be a good artist to start our little segment that we're going to do periodically. So do you have a review that you can do for Wayne's newest album?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I realize that it's been out a few months. It's called Tulsa. And I think it's appropriate that we go back and talk about it, not just because of who Wayne is, but because even though we've had some good releases in 2007, Dale Watson, Robbie Falks, Hackensaw Boys, some of the names that have put out good underground country music records, last year, 2006, was a phenomenal year for country, and Tulsa, in my opinion, was pretty much the best of the bunch, and that's saying a lot, because just about everybody that was anybody released a great album last year. Wayne is best described, I forgot who even said it, but I read somewhere that it's someone described Wayne as a country singer. And I think that's a great way to describe him. He talks a lot about life on the road. Phenomenal lyricist. And I think he gets dropped out of the radar sometimes by some fans, just because if you take a listen to his voice, for those of you who haven't heard Wayne's music, you listen to his voice, it's really easy to dismiss him right away as just someone that's trying to copy, you know, Hank Williams, maybe a Hank Williams with a less powerful voice. And I don't think that's fair, because if you listen to his music more deeply, you're going to hear a really good blend of the old country and swing jazz, which is a really cool fusion. It's something that not a lot of people are doing, but he's really mastered that art. He's called it the juke joint swing. And Tulsa, of all of the records he's released, really captures the perfect blend of that juke joint swing and old school country. A lot of brass and a lot of brass instruments and steel guitar. I mean, it's just a really, really nice sound. It's something he's been working at for a while. And when he released Tulsa, when I popped it in the first couple of times I listened to it, I really believed it was the best record that he had done. Not everyone agrees. I think that's mostly because a lot of people don't really like the jazz element of his music. But then again, I'm from the camp that believe that That's What Daddy Wants, his second album that he released, was his best prior to this one. This record has pretty much the essential Wayne sound. You have a lot of good songs, like the title track, Tulsa, Going Back to Texas When I'm Through, the opener and the closer, just really great examples of that swing jazz. You have some really great lounge jazzy type songs, like Highway Bound, and This Lonely Night. And then you have just basically your classic Wayne sound. I call it the classic Wayne sound. I'm not exactly sure how else to put it because it's really his. Songs that are just the perfect blend of the country and the jazz. Songs like Shooting Star from Texas, which is pretty much an autobiographical song about his life, you know, life on the road. The No Sleep Blues, which is Johnny Horton. Johnny Horton's all over that song. And Back Home. Great, just phenomenal lyrics. And a song like Lord Take My Pain. Now, I know a lot of people have released a lot of songs that have the Hank Williams vibe to it. In fact, Hank III put the song on the second side of Straight to Hell. It's one of the hidden tracks on that record. Song called Lord Take My Pain. And that song is probably, even though we'll never see, I personally don't believe we'll ever see a Hank Williams come around again, unfortunately. But of all the songs that were written in that, in his style, I can't think of another song that best fits that Hank Williams sound, essential Hank Williams soul in a song as Lord Take My Pain. It's absolutely lovely. And it's a highlight, along with Highway Bound, which is, I don't know, if you have, like, imagine, like, Hank Williams on a Lost Highway. It's like this lounge jazz song, but you have Hank Williams on the Lost Highway. But this is, like, you've seen the documentary, Honky Tonk Blues?
Yes.
All right. I don't know, maybe this is just, like, the writer in me, but I see that vision of the blue Cadillac kind of, like, fading off, and they kind of, like, have it like it's a ghost Cadillac disappearing. That's what Highway Bound is. It like feels like it's like this ghost of this old Texas troubadour, like on this highway, and he can't escape. It's like the ghost traveling up and down the road, and he's always going to be there. That's the kind of feeling that song has, and it's really unique that way. It's just a great record. Now, it's all about life on the road, and that's what Wayne's life is about. And it's everything that's essential Wayne. And you'd have to, like I said, you have to like the swing jazz to really get into it, but if you're really interested in both styles, and like all his previous work, I really don't see why any Wayne Hancock fan couldn't enjoy it. You know, he's admired by everybody from Hank III to new guys that are starting out, like a Jake Penrod and artists that you've had on your show. So if you haven't heard it, by all means, go out and get it, because it's a phenomenal, phenomenal record.
And definitely, and I would say that with him and Dale Watson, to me, you're kind of like the two senior guys in this revolution that continues slowly but surely. I mean, a lot of the new guys are coming out. It usually comes back to one of the two of them, and so I guess we call them the Godfathers of Hellbilly or Godfathers of Modern Country Swing.
And you really could. And they're so different. You know, Wayne's sound is like 1950s, and you can see Dale mixing it up with Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings in the 1970s. So
right.
two different eras of country, but both really solid artists who are still putting out great music to this day and inspiring a brand new generation of underground country artists.
All right. Well, Jared, like I said, we're going to hopefully have you on the show periodically. I appreciate your time. And if you could name off three albums right now that if somebody who's never really listened to our kind of music, name three quick albums that they should start off with.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think if you want to get a good idea of the kind of energy that you're going to be able to get from this sound, I mean, it's got the 1950s sound, but to bring the energy, you have to go with Hank III, Straight to Hell.
Right.
I mean, it's just a perfect record. You have to go the Dale Watson route. I would recommend maybe starting with the Dreamland. And then for another record, probably my favorite country record that's been released in the past 10 years or so, you have to go with BR-549's Tangled in the Pines.
Exactly. All right. That's what we needed to hear. All right, Jared, thank you very much again for being on the show, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
All right, yeah, it's good. Great being part of the show, and I look forward to being part of future episodes as well. It Burns When I Pee, great great country show, and if you want us to get out and support the music, download this show, and you're going to get your great artist interviews, your great information, your humor. It's all right here.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right.
One, two, one, two, three, four. You told me we were through, but what else could I do? I cried till both my eyes were sore. You ran off with my pal, now he thinks you're his gal, but I don't care anymore. You sang my heart note for note, played me for a fool. You tried to run the game of love, but you broke all the rules. If that's what it's about, then you can deal me out, but I don't care anymore. Did me wrong, so now your daddy's gone. No need to hang outside my door, but you can have my friend when he's in town again, but I don't care anymore. I've got the car filled up with gas and a cooler full of beer. I'm gonna surf this interstate till my heartache disappears. You wanted to have fun, now you'll pay for what you've done, but I don't care anymore.
It Burns When I Pee would like to remind you that watching a Timber Golf video is considered watching gay porn.
Well, folks, it's that time again. As I look around, I see that everybody's can of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer is empty. And it's time to go back to the fridge. I want to give a special shout-out to Scott H. Byron for being on the show. And I want to thank Section86.com for editing and posting the podcast. And I want to give a shout-out to TakeCountryBack.com, who continue to support our podcast. And we appreciate your support. And we've also got a couple new websites that we're joining up with. TwangNation.com. That's TwangNation. And DrunkenHillbilly.com. So make sure you check those guys out. So I guess it's about time to say, Cheyenne, take us out of here. Later, everybody, and thanks a lot. And don't forget, y'all, get your hank on.
Well, folks, that brings us to the close of another episode of It Burns When I Pee. We would like to thank Scott for being on the show and Jared for his review of Wayne's album. We would also like to thank Section86.com for all their help. Make sure to check out their other show, Vertebreaker. It will have you laughing your ass off. Don't forget to send us your email at itburnswhenip86@gmail.com or call our dial-in number 309-761-4227. We would love to hear from you. Take care till next time, and remember to get your hank on. 504, 504, and she don't love.